It's a show about women, for women, and empowering women. This is Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Maureen Moore with Cocktails and Conversation here on 590 The Fan. And today I am here with Lisa Stone. This is what's so cool. Lisa is the women's basketball coach at St. Louis University, my alma mater, coming up on their 200th anniversary of as a university. But the cool thing is Lisa lives in Illinois, close to me, but she's coaching big time. She's coaching D1 St. Louis U women's basketball. And so we've got her for an hour today. So Lisa, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Oh God. You know, it's so cool because I have to tell you, the first time I met you, you probably don't remember because, you know, you see so many people and you have so much going on, but I was a former woman of distinction at the MAC, Missouri Athletic Club. And so they always invite us back each year. So you were the keynote, I think, the following year after I had been inducted into that class. So you spoke, and I was blown away. You were so inspirational. I kept thinking, God, I got to meet her. I got to talk to her. This is so cool. And it was like, and she lives in Edwardsville, you know?
Right.
And I thought, oh, I just wanted to have you on the show.
So, well, I am thrilled to be here. We're going to have a great
you.
Time.
We are. So first, tell our listeners who you are, where you hail from, and, you know, a little bit of background and especially, you know, family. I mean, because that's the cool thing is that you actually are a really neat mother and wife as well.
Well, I appreciate that. And I'm a small town girl from Orion, Wisconsin, 7 miles south of Madison.
Okay.
In Wisconsin. Grew up a cheesehead, still a cheesehead. Was recruited to play tennis, basketball, or track, one of the three. And this is back in 1980. So pretty fortunate that scholarships are just coming into play. My mom's a secretary, dad's a carpenter. So any financial aid that we had to help me go to college as the oldest child was certainly welcomed. And I chose to go to the University of Iowa. I was recruited by every school in the Big Ten except Madison, except Wisconsin,
wow,
where I would have loved to have played.
Yeah, yeah.
But they wanted somebody different, so I went to the University of Iowa. And I played there for 4 years. I was a starting point guard for 4 years. Stayed on and got my master's degree during my first year of employment. When I was a senior in college at Iowa, I was offered a college head coaching job. I was 21 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
The seniors on my first team I coached, we were a year younger than I was. So, yes, this is true. So I take the job, and mm-hmm, I have to teach anatomy, physiology, and biomechanics.
Course, what was your major?
My major was physical education and health education.
And you had to teach?
They hired me to be the women's basketball coach, the women's softball coach, and teach 5 classes at Cornell College in Mount Vernon, Iowa.
Oh, my Lord.
It's called Cornell College. Still to this day, there's the block plan. They take one course at a time. So for me, it was great. I've never taught before. I'm right fresh out of college, and I'm going to grad school full time at Iowa City. Uh-huh. I drove 20 miles north, lived by myself, and I coached this team. The enrollment at the college was 800, so everybody knew
everybody. Yeah.
I'm little Lisa Anderson. I'm not married yet.
Mm-hmm.
Just finished playing at Iowa. And I'm starting grad school, and they hire me as their women's basketball, women's softball, and to teach anatomy, physiology, biomechanics. Courses I just took. So the good thing is, it was one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So I would drive my little Fanny down to Iowa City, meet with my teacher.
Uh-huh.
I used the same lecture notes, the same tests, all of that to get me through that first year. So I had to learn on the fly. Coach basketball, that was the easy part. Coach softball, never. I played summer slow pitch. You know, the fun party, party softball in the summer.
Oh, yeah.
I did all that.
But I played second base because I could hide kind of behind the pitcher if any line drives were coming, you know.
Okay. I played in the outfield and I ran around like a crazy person,
I
still am. So I stayed there for 3 years and mm-hmm, we had tremendous success. The team I had taken over was 0-25. Our first year on the job, we finished 13-13. They thought I was Pat Summitt and
they
were national champions, and we're not. We won the South Division. And later then won 2 more conference championships. I then moved to Wisconsin Eau Claire, Division III, another Division III school.
Okay.
State system. I had to teach there as well. I was the youngest female on staff, so I taught all the activity classes like fitness and aerobics and tennis and running around things mm-hmm. that they thought a young person could do. I only had to coach basketball, but I still had to teach. That is also the year I got married. So I married my best friend. My husband and I have been married 30 years. He has watched all of my many, many, many basketball games. 33 years of watching college women's basketball.
God bless him.
Yes, he has. He has watched a lot of good and very bad basketball over 30 years. But we've been together a long time, and he's a CPA. He was working at a Big Eight at the time.
Which firm?
Touche Ross. I started at Touche Ross. He's a graduate of Wisconsin Whitewater.
Okay.
Auditing. And he's worked both public and private accounting. Mm-hmm. And we moved to Eau Claire, became a controller CFO of a plastics company up north.
He had to enjoy that much more than working for Touche Ross.
Hands down.
Yeah.
Although our son now is working for a Big Four.
Okay.
Price Waterhouse.
Okay.
We'll get to that in a second. So Ed and I stay there. Both our children are born in Eau Claire. My daughter, Allison, currently 26, a graduate of UW-Eau Claire.
Okay.
College soccer player in PA school, graduate December the 15th, and I'll have a physician's assistant. She writes her boards in January.
Wow.
Super proud of her. Our son, Tyler, is a SLU grad, graduated in accounting, master's in accounting, passed the CPA exam with flying colors.
I have goosebumps from that.
All four parts, knocked him out. He's currently employed with Price Waterhouse in auditing like his daddy. So our kids were born in Eau Claire. And
I have to just say, though, I only lasted 8 days at Touche Ross. I quit. So your husband will kind of get a kick out of that. I lasted 8 days.
Yeah. Well, he loved it. Did it a long time. But we're at Eau Claire. All of this is going on. And we're sitting at the kitchen table one day and get a knock on the door. And it's Drake University.
Really? A knock on the door.
Yes. The senior women's administrator asked if she could come in and talk to me about a vacancy they have for the women's basketball program. The team I'm currently coaching is 27-0. We're at Eau Claire. We're going to play Wash U, ironically.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We're going to play Wash U when we're 29-0, and they are 29-0. And we're playing Wash U in St. Louis, Missouri, against my friend Nancy Fahey, of Illinois.
Yes.
Both of us are undefeated. One's going to go on to the Final Four. One's not. Well, they won. They went later on. They averaged like a 55-point deficit in that tournament. But that was my last game at Eau Claire.
Okay.
I go to Drake University. They take a Division III coach to Division I. My husband gives up his career to follow me and allow me to do what I'm going to do.
God bless
him
again.
Our kids are third grade in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. We move our kids to West Des Moines, Iowa. Beautiful area.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful place to raise a family. Great, strong, rich women's basketball tradition.
Mm-hmm.
We're there for 3 years. We go to the Sweet 16 with that team. We're at Baylor. We beat Baylor at Baylor, advance to play South Carolina. Winner plays Duke to go to the Final Four. Drake University has 2,500 students. So we've got our little kids in there, and we're tearing away, and we darn near make it to the Final Four. Obviously, after something like that, people come after you a little bit, and we loved it. Our kids loved it, and we didn't want to move, and all of my moves have been surrounded with my family.
Right.
And my husband's like, you know what? At least they're Wisconsin is our home. And sure enough, they offered me the job. And we don't go from Des Moines back to Madison. So grandma and grandpa, everybody's there. Ed and I are from the same hometown, my husband. And we stay there for 8 years. And we finished third in the Big Ten, which wasn't good enough. So if you're in coaching, you know, they want you to win national championships every year, which wasn't quite realistic. But we were let go. And that happens. Okay, it happens
all the time.
Happens all the time.
Professionally, everything. Yeah.
And to this day, they're on their third coach. And I sat out, did TV, did media for a year, went to the dark side.
No wonder you're like so good with this.
Well, no. I go to the dark side.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
And that's what I call it. Yeah. I had a ball. My Lord! It was TV though, so I couldn't hide behind a camera. So they had to try to make me look pretty. So you'd go and you sit down. They do makeup and all that.
Uh-huh.
And I did all the play-by-play for the Big Ten Network.
How cool.
And did that for a year, and my kids are like, Mom, you need to get back on the court. So I'm just chilling, hanging out, and some suitors came calling, and I'm like, you know what? My next step, I'll be 50 years old. I want to go somewhere and make a difference, do something that's never been done. So we come down, and Ed had already done his research on St. Louis University.
Good, good.
Chris May's a wonderful man.
Chris is a dear.
And he is, you know, he's got relatives in Oregon, Wisconsin, my hometown, FYI. He's like, you know what? At least we're committed to women's basketball here. Mm-hmm. You come here, we'll support you, and we'll help you do something that's never been done and win a championship. And indeed, we did. I've been blessed with, obviously, a supportive husband of 30 years, a supportive staff. Where I'm at right now, our president and his wife, President Pastello, and Dr. Pastello, his wife, and Chris mm-hmm. May, and you go right down Mona Hicks and Kent Porterfield and Janet Orbel, you go right through all of everybody.
Right, right.
Right to my players on my team. I have found a place that I call home. Yes, I live over the river. I deal right. with the bridge every day. Drives me crazy. But I go across that bridge at 5 in the morning, and we'll talk about that, I'm sure. But my career is kind of long-winded, but that's my story. I'm a mother of two beautiful children. I'll have a PA and a CPA. We're very proud of that. My husband is my very best friend and supportive of women's basketball. He coached our kids and everything. He attended everything. I did the best I could. And if you're a college women's basketball coach and you're married, you need to have someone that understands what you do and loves it. And there's days he loves it way more than I do. It's a joy to be the coach at St. Louis. I love what I do. It's my 33rd year as a head coach. I've never been an assistant. But I know that there's a lot more people that make my job easier. And without them, I'm not sitting here talking to you today.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you are. That's the whole thing. You were so inspirational at the Missouri Athletic Club that day, you know, as you spoke about, you know, your career and your family. And I kept thinking, man, I want to grow up and be her. You know, I want to be her. But it's truly. So one of the nice things is that you do have such a longevity with a good husband, a family. Look at this. Your kids switched schools a few times.
Yes,
and
it
didn't hurt them. Some people always, that's, oh, well, you know, they had to switch schools. We had to do this. And then they go on to why little Johnny didn't do so well. It's like, no. It's still about if the core of the family is working together and all pulling in the same direction, you can switch schools. I mean, you can switch schools at any time with kids, and they'll manage.
Well, and with young children too, they went everywhere. They're on bus trips. Mm-hmm. They've been to Australia. They've been to London and to Italy mm-hmm. and to Spain and a variety of different places, and they've gone with us. They know how to behave in a restaurant.
Yes.
You know, I think, why get a babysitter? We took them and they learned how to not crawl around under the table and scream and holler and throw food at each mm-hmm. other. They learned at an early age. And my mother raised us that way.
That's how we were raised, yeah.
You understand and you're well-mannered and you look people in the eye and you shake their hand and all those little things. And now I look at them and they're so, and it's, what I love is that Ed and I are still cool enough for them to hang out with. Like they come home and they want to go to dinner or have,
right.
you know, go have Mexican with us or something like that. It's mm-hmm. it's super fun and it's a part of balance. I mean, and I don't care if you're coaching or whatever job you're in. One, you better love what you're doing.
Now I'm 56 years old
right. and I have to love this because I get to work with 18 to 22 year old women every single day to try to help them put the ball in the basket and foster female leadership. But I have life outside my job.
Yes.
And if you don't have that, life is not very happy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I totally agree. And it's funny because we have parallels in so many ways. I mean, that's exactly what we did with our kids. You know, when our kids were young, people would say all the time, you know, what's this? Yes, ma'am. They're not in the service. I said, it will serve them well to have manners. It will serve them well to understand how to sit at a dining room table or how to go to someone's home and bring a gift. I said, it will serve them well to have good manners.
Yeah.
And, you know, to this day, Patrick said to me on Sunday when he was cutting some bushes, he said, you know, Mom, people tell me all the time I have good manners. I said, yes, you do. And I said, they still serve you well. He goes, oh, yes, ma'am. You know, there's no reason for not having it.
No,
you know?
No. And as a parent, you love to hear that.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's not why you do it. I mean, your kids are an extension of you.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is it's not always like that when you have college students. They need wonderful people like Mona Hicks, our dean of students.
Mm-hmm.
They need wonderful people like Janet Orbele, who will high-five and call everybody by their first
yeah.
name. They will respond to Mama Stone, they call it, when I get mm-hmm. my Mama Stone voice out, where, listen, ladies, I don't want you late for class. I love you very much, but I'm going to hold you accountable.
Mm-hmm.
So always know that if I'm correcting you or I might be intense or saying something to motivate you, you take it the wrong way. You think it may be criticism. It's because I believe you can. And it's not personal. It's because of performance. So we actually, as coaches, both Travis Ford, myself, all the coaches, Katie Shield, who's off to the A-10 tournament.
I'm going to have her on next month, too.
Awesome.
I can't
she's
wait.
Terrific.
She's doing a great
she's
job.
She's a Harvard grad. I went to Iowa. She went to Harvard, so let's figure that out.
Yeah, I went to SLU, and I don't know that I could get into SLU now.
Well, yes, you could.
Back in 1978, they appreciated and took me in and said, yes, and we'd like you to play tennis here.
That's awesome.
But now I'm thinking, I don't know that I could even get in.
Yes,
These kids are so smart.
And Katie's done a great job. She's a fantastic young coach. Mm-hmm. She's brilliant. She's she's a Harvard grad. She's a wonderful, wonderful human being, a tremendous coach. We're very fortunate to have her. But again, we are a surrogate parent to these young women.
Oh, absolutely.
And so they're in my office, and I don't care if you're male or female, everybody needs a hug. And they're like, oh my goodness. Like, they get off the bus on road trips, and I meet every one of them at the base of the steps of the bus and give mm-hmm. them a hug. That's just a ritual. And they're like, the first thing, like, what's going on? Then it gets to be where the hugs get tighter.
Yeah.
It's legit. Like, she's really serious about this. She does love us.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that's you can go a long way when kids know and your own children and your players know that you love and care for them.
Well, that they know that you've always got their back no matter what, you know, and that you'll be there standing right alongside them.
Yep.
And I think it's so important. You know, well, I got to tell you, folks, that we are here today with Lisa Stone, the women's basketball coach, the head coach. The only time she's never been anything except a head coach, and she's the head coach at St. Louis University, as I proudly say, my alma mater. And we will be back in a few minutes with Lisa Stone here on Cocktails and Conversation.
We now return to Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
And we are back here on the air with Lisa Stone today, the women's varsity basketball coach, the head coach at St. Louis University, Lisa Anderson Stone. Happily married, happy mother, proud mother, happy to be here today. And this is Cocktails and Conversation. And thank you for being here today on 590 with us.
This is my favorite interview of all times.
Really?
So far,
how
so
cool.
Good. We're having a great time. This is awesome.
Thank you. Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome.
So tell me a little bit about, like, when you first came to St. Louis U. Tell me some of the stories, some of the things people probably don't know.
Well, so an interesting story and a fun story I like to tell, and it's the truth that when I was looking at St. Louis, you know, looked at the beautiful and Father Biondi and Chris May and everybody mm-hmm. that was involved in luring me to St. Louis, the beauty of the campus, the vibrant city, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And my husband, he said, Lisa, you're going to love it. So they brought me down here first.
Right.
Now, Coach Majerus was here at the time.
God rest his soul.
Yes,
I loved Coach Majerus.
Wonderful man. Well, I knew Rick Majerus. And this is how I knew Rick Majerus.
Okay.
When I was 10 years old,
mm-hmm.
he was working at Marquette University.
Mm-hmm.
He was an assistant coach there.
And who was the head coach there?
And Al McGuire were both there.
Al McGuire,
had
right.
Al McGuire, mm-hmm. Hank Raymond, and Rick mm-hmm. Majerus, all three very famous, famous men.
Yep. My husband, Mike Moore, would know those guys well.
Went to basketball camp at mm-hmm. Carroll College in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Rick Majerus is there. Carroll College is a small Division III school, Waukesha, Wisconsin. Kind of an easy drive for the Marquette coaches.
Right.
And I'm going to go to basketball camp because I was little, but I grew a foot in a year. So I went from 4'8 to 5'8 in 1 year. So I'm all legs. I'm all skinny, awkward. I was a gymnast. I'm going to go to basketball camp and learn how to play basketball. Well, it is run by the Marquette staff. It was called the Medalist Basketball Camp. And these guys worked it. So I went to this camp, and it is not air conditioned.
Oh.
It's the middle of the summer in uh-huh. Wisconsin, hot and humid, over 100 degrees. The gym is about 115. And my little blondie is sitting in the front row while Rick Majerus gives a lecture on shooting. Now, Doc Rivers, a famous professional coach now, he uh-huh. played there. He came to demonstrate, and Rick is looking around. And he goes, you, blondie, come here, which is me. Out I go in front of the entire camp, 300 students, 300 kids, and Rick's a big man.
Oh, yeah.
He's sweating profusely. I remind you, it's 115 degrees uh-huh. in the gym. And he has a gray T-shirt on, soaking wet. And he puts his arm around me, so my head's in his armpit. And I'm terrified right now because I have this sweaty man with his arm around me. And he said, you're the worst basketball player I've ever seen in my life.
Rick said that to
I'm
you?
I'm 10 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
Hang on. It's okay.
Okay.
This is the start of a great relationship. And he goes, and I want to start crying because this big sweaty man has got his arm around me. And he goes, I'm going to show you why you're the worst player here. He says, come here, Doc. He brings Doc Rivers, who's playing at Marquette at the time, out. Who he goes, I want you to guard him, which is obviously unrealistic. I guard him. He jumps over my head, slams the ball, dunks. He goes, see, that's what I'm talking about. And now I'm really terrified. I want to go home. First of all, I'm homesick. I'm at camp overnight. And then he goes, come here. And he gave me an example of me in front of the whole camp. He said, criticism makes you bitter or it makes you better. I'll never, ever forget that quote. Criticism makes you bitter or it makes you better. So you can cry because I know you want to cry. But you actually, young lady, I've watched the stations around here. You're super talented. You're one of the youngest and smallest kids in this camp. And if you develop a left hand and you work on your layups and get in the gym every single day, you're going to turn criticism into making you better. The lecture gets over. I go off to my group. He walks over with Al McGuire, Hank Ram, and Rick Majerus, the three of them. They go, come here, Blondie. What's your name? My name's Lisa. Lisa, step over here. We're going to help you with your free throw. The three of them. These are like big-time coaches who later I figure out. They taught me how to shoot a free throw. I shot about 88% from the free throw line in college because of them. We maintained a relationship and friendship, Rick Majerus and I in particular, from then. Because I then, instead of being a camper, I became a coach of his. We became friends.
Yeah.
I got the job when I went to Iowa and played. He then wanted me to be the Marquette coach, and I was still in college. I'm like, listen, I've got to get a little experience here.
Yeah.
And connected. And so when they're looking for a coach at St. Louis, Rick's like, that's not little Lisa Anderson, the little blonde girl from camp. And they go, yeah, which I'm now 50 years old.
Right, right.
But when I was in high school, he was coaching. I still, I think he was the head coach at Ball State at the time. It could have been Marquette. I don't know what the story, but I got a Western Union message. This is old school now.
Yeah.
No texting.
Right.
To the locker room before the state tournament to Lisa from Coach Rick Majerus. Go get him, kid. Shoot when you're open. You've done a great job. Super proud of you. Can't wait to watch your team play. Later then has always been somebody like each job I've been at was instrumental in all of that. So connected at when I was young, he told me I was terrible. And I took his advice. I worked on it. And I'll never forget, they taught me how to shoot the ball the right way and overcome adversity. And I'll never forget it. And the fact that he was here and I didn't get to coach next to him because he passed before the season started. But a man that's left his legacy many, many places. My Life on a Napkin, it's a great book of his.
That is a wonderful book. Yeah.
Read it. His players adore him. They've loved him. He coached them hard, but he loved them every way, shape, or form. And, you know, I miss Rick, and a lot of people do. He touched a lot of lives, and he put our men's basketball program in a position to be very, very successful. And you know, what Travis is doing now certainly is going to be the same. But I miss Rick, but his impact on my life was very important.
He was such a wonderful man and such a nice man, and I was fortunate enough to meet him at the beginning of his time at St. Louis U, because that was when I was still the director of major gifts at St. Louis U, where Shea Fitz Arena was my project to raise the money, bring the donors in, and build the arena.
Which we really appreciate, by
well,
the
thank
way.
You.
Thank you so much.
I love that. That is a beautiful place. It's just a beautiful place. And we were fortunate that Father Biondi had the vision. I can still remember when Father Biondi called me into his office. And he said, what do you think about us building an arena? I said, I think we should have an arena. You know, I was an alum, but I played tennis at SLU, but I dated a basketball player.
In West Pine, yeah.
And that was West Pine's a great place. And, and my parents were both at St. Louis U and my grandfather. So, I mean, West Pine had special memories, but Father had that vision. And I give Father all the credit for St. Louis U being as strong as it is now, that it's still in existence and it's so well respected, preserved, and so successful. And it's, you know, I mean, and I've never met the new president, but I hear he's been phenomenal.
He's terrific.
You know, I've heard he's phenomenal. But with Chris was already there. Or was Chris there? Gosh, I'm trying to think. When we brought in Coach Majerus, Father said, we need one of your donors that might have a plane because we need to fly in a coach that we want to talk to. So he said, which donor has a plane that you could possibly help us get a plane to get this guy in? And so I worked with the donor, and the donor said, well, I'll go with them. You know, I'll go when they go to pick him up and everything. And so they all went to dinner and had a great time. And you know, so then when I finally got to meet Coach Majerus, we would have dinners, and we'd have all these round table dinners with all these possible people that were going to be buying tickets and donating, and we are still building the, you know, building the facility. I always found it interesting because we'd have dinners, and a lot of times they'd be large dinners, but then there'd be other ones where Father Biondi would be there with only six couples, you know. And I can still remember Bob and Kathy Federico. Mm-hmm. Bob comes with the book, you know, what was his book called? The Napkin?
My Life on a Napkin.
My Life on a Napkin. So Bob brings in that book, you know, and he's got that to show Rick. And but what was so funny is we're having this dinner. Pretty soon, all the men have kind of shooed the women. We've all kind of like changed places, and all the men have moved to one end of the table. They're all sitting on the edge of their seats. And these are all CEOs and corporate execs. They're all sitting on the end of their seats listening to Rick tell stories. The women, we've all kind of shuffled to the other end, and we're hearing, but the men have all just kind of moved us, you know? and it happened every time we had an event where I had donors and people that wanted to meet him. All the guys would be there. They couldn't wait to sit there and listen. They hung on his every word, mm-hmm. on his every word. He had a practice one time where I had some major donors in. It was at West Pine, and I'm walking in. I said, okay, we're going to be up here, and we're going to watch practice. And he said, you can't stay. I was offended. I'm like, what do you mean I can't stay? You know, here I am bringing in donors to build, you know, the arena that you're going to play in. And I didn't say that to him because, I mean, I was respectful of him. I said, excuse me? And he said, if you're here, I can't coach these men and say some of the things I might want to say because you're a lady. And I have to be careful of what I say in front of a lady. He said, so I can't be myself on the court if you're sitting up there with those five donors. He said, so those five donors, those men can stay, but I need to ask you to wait outside because I don't want to offend you. I hugged him. I go, oh, thank you. I go, I appreciate so much that you actually treat me as a lady and think that. I said, thank you. Yep. You know, so it was just great always working with him, mm-hmm. and, being able to see him coach in that arena.
Yeah, and his players played their tail off. He was a great teacher.
Yeah.
A tremendous teacher. Everybody's heard all the stories about all the papers all over the locker room.
Oh, yeah.
I have his video. He runs a 4-out-1 in offense. I run Rick Majerus's offense for mm-hmm. our team. But just a great teacher, tremendous clinician. I'd listen to him at clinics. You know, he left his imprint more
left
than on a
mark.
Napkin.
He really
he's lifted,
did.
He's really lifted, and he touched a lot of lives.
He really did.
We miss him, but that was another key part of me coming, too. But St. Louis University is a beautiful campus. When we have recruits in, when we're recruiting, you can talk about it.
Right.
But there's a lot of people that just drive by, and they see the arena, but they don't see the campus. You need to get your feet in there.
It's a vibrant, beautiful campus.
And see the clock tower.
Right.
And go, you know, sit in the park and go into... Mm-hmm. DeBerg, a beautiful building,
right.
And the B School, you know, mm-hmm. now is the Chaffetz School of Business.
I know.
You know, it's remarkable. It's so pretty and an easy sell. And for us, recruiting has really flourished because, well, you know, it's a family. Mm-hmm. And I coach because I'm a mother, wife, teacher, coach. But it's a family as well. My son went there. You went there.
Yeah.
There is a connection with the students, the faculty. It's a cool place you just don't see very often.
It's the epitome of what the Jesuit Foundation is, mm-hmm. and what, you know, what you understand as a Jesuit. So I think that's one of the things that's the epitome. And when I was there from 78 to 82. So Father Drummond was mm-hmm. the interim president at that point. And I got called to his office like 2 weeks into school there. And I lived in Walsh.
Okay.
And so I get called to Father Drummond's office. And, you know, the question is, do you know that I know your grandmother? I said, no, I didn't know that. And he pulls out a little letter. My grandmother had sent him a note because my grandfather had graduated from St. Louis U. My father had as well. My mother was a Maryville graduate, but it was still what did they call it? It was a college of St. Louis U at that point.
It wasn't a satellite school.
Yeah, it was like it wasn't Maryville University at that point. Maryville was a corporate college of St. Louis U. So anyway, there's a note from my grandmother to Father Drummond. My grandmother dated Father Drummond in high school.
Oh, my goodness.
And she asked him to look out for me and watch out for me because, you know, it was a tough area then.
Yeah.
You know, my mother and my uncle, because my father had passed when I was really young. I was seven, and my mother and my uncle, Father Singer, had dropped me. They took me to school. And my mother said, she goes, when I left, I kept thinking, what am I doing leaving her here? Mm-hmm. You know, because it was really a tough neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Father Drummond was in charge. He'd come to my tennis matches behind Ritter Hall when the tennis courts were there. He'd walk over and he knew my grades before I knew my grades.
Oh, wow.
You know, and my grandmother was in Deloge, which, you know, I don't even know what they call the hospital now. Is it called St. Louis University Hospital?
Yes.
Now? Okay,
yes.
Back then it was Furman Deloge, and my grandmother was having heart surgery, but my grandmother was still receiving notes from Father to let her, you know, let him know that, you know, let her know he was watching out for me. And then Father Fitz was in for a few years. When Father Biondi came, because, you know, Father Drummond and Fitz, they were trying to hold it together until they could bring somebody in that was just iconic, somebody mm-hmm. that could come in young, take over, and rebuild that school.
Yep.
And Father Biondi did that. And he did it from the ground up, and, you know, he didn't take prisoners. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there wasn't a problem with it. It was Father was there to make a difference and to rebuild the Jesuit school, St. Louis University. And I think everybody still understands that now and yes. the legacy that he left. Yeah. So I'm so proud of that.
Oh, yeah.
I really
and,
am.
And the whole lead, learn, and serve, the
yes.
the culture at St. Louis, that's mm-hmm. it's expected that you
exactly.
will do community service. I would... We'll take our team, our students, our institution up against anybody in terms of making a difference in mm-hmm. people's lives through community service. The education is off the charts. You know, our academic prowess speaks for itself, you know, and future leaders, you know. As a basketball coach, my job is to foster female leadership, to develop self-confidence in these young women so they can go out and be what they want to be. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, I see that on our campus. It's a wonderful place. They care about their students. You just demonstrated that through people that knew your grades. And there may yeah. be a connection, but there's not too many faculty that I can't think of really any that don't really care for their students and mm-hmm. want them to be successful.
Well, and that's why so many are there and have been there for so long.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things. You know, it's funny. We were at the old cathedral. Mike and I we were at Mass at the old cathedral downtown 5 o'clock 2 weeks ago. And there was an older Jesuit that was stepping in and saying Mass for the Monsignor that day. And so anyway, and he was kind of like standing outside afterwards. And my husband said, Father, can I help you? And he said, well, I'm going to call Uber because I need to ride back to Jesuit Hall. And Mike said, oh, my wife is a SLU grad. She knows where Jesuit Hall is. We'll just take you, you
yeah.
know. So we just put him in our car. He didn't know us from Adam, and we took him off to Jesuit Hall.
Yep.
And it was so great because he goes, I said to him, I said, oh, do you remember Father Barth? I started, you know, Father McGinnis. We started talking about different priests, you know, and it was just so nice, you know, speaking to him. And he's like, I'll see you again, and then I'll just count on you for a ride home. I said, you can count us on a ride home, you know.
I think it's awesome that he was going to call Uber, too.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, now he has a permanent Uber driver because he's connected. And,
yeah.
you know, there is a connection. When people know you went to SLU, it resonates
it's
with them.
It's faith.
Yep.
Yeah, it really is. It's wonderful. And I'm proud to say that for the 200th anniversary, Saddleback Chocolates, Dr. Ellen Harshman, who, you know, I knew
I
Ellen
Dr.
when
Ellen.
I was there. I adore it. And Ellen was on here on the show for Cocktails and Conversation. She was with Blanche Tuhill. And Kathy Bear from Maryville.
Oh,
I had three stellar women in education all on. I hardly could get a word in edgewise with those three. You know, and I did. I said to Ellen, I think I even said it on the air. I go, gosh, when I was in school, I was scared to death of you.
Yeah.
She goes, why were you scared of me? I go, I don't know. I was scared of you. I said, but I'm not scared anymore. You
impressive
know,
impressive woman.
But
yes.
She is, and everything she has accomplished and what she's still doing. Well, you know, I should say, and we're going to have to go to break, but I should say, the whole theme of Cocktails and Conversation is strong women. May we know them. May we be them. May we raise them. And then I've always added, and may we praise them. And here we're praising you today because you are a strong woman. And that's why we're here on Cocktails and Conversation. So we'll be back in a second with Lisa Stone here from St. Louis University. So raise your glass if you are.
We now return to Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
And welcome back, everyone, to Cocktails and Conversation. This is Maureen Moore here on 590 The Fan. Remember, we always are on not just on Fridays 1 to 2, but we're also on Saturdays 12 to 1, and again on Sundays at 7 a.m. So you can always catch us, but you can also catch us on a podcast. So if you choose to be working out or riding your bike, you know, it's a perfect time to really listen to somebody that this time is just outstanding. Well, everybody, every guest I've ever had has been a strong woman that we want to praise. And so today is Lisa Stone, the women's head coach at St. Louis University. I can't say how proud I am to have you here because I am over the moon having you here, Lisa Stone. Thank you again for being here. Let's talk a little bit about the team. Let's talk a little bit about what you see for this year for the team. And let's see, you've got a home opener on Tuesday the 13th.
Yep.
You so that should be great. Who are you playing on
Indiana
Tuesday?
Indiana State.
Okay.
On the 13th. Yep.
On the 13th. That's the big home opener. You've got you know, a huge schedule this year. And with a pretty young team too, don't you?
We have six newcomers, five freshmen and a transfer that we're hoping we'll be eligible to play this year for. She transferred to us from Marquette. We're waiting on an appeal process, and if she's eligible, it really means we have six freshmen. So we went from six seniors to six freshmen, which is why I color my hair once a month, which is why I need, you know, readers now and all these, this, that, now that's all part of getting old. But I adore them. They're young. One just turned 18 last week.
So she
still could be in high school. They are delightful. They come with their eyes wide open. Teach me, teach me, teach me, even though we go at 6 in the morning. And
why
get back
6 a.m. in the morning?
Okay, so I
mean,
have,
come
this
on.
Is why. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we go 6 a.m. to 8:30 a.m.
Oh.
Now.
I shudder.
Think about it in a few ways. Your husband would understand this.
Yes, Mike Moore would
certainly
understand.
They're,
you know, Mike played for SIU on the very first men's basketball team 50 years ago at SIU
Mike.
Edwardsville. Yeah, you would adore him.
Yeah, yeah. We go in the morning.
Okay.
And it's actually almost by request by our players.
Really?
They have such tough academic schedules. Our team ranked fifth in the country academically. We have very, very bright students.
Good.
I have a nursing major that's a senior. Thursday, she has a 12-hour rotation in clinical every single Thursday. So we don't practice on Thursdays. They have a day off. We have a very tough academic-minded group of women.
Uh-huh.
And when I recruit them, I tell them that we will not schedule practice during a required course of yours. So I actually arrange our practice schedule around their academics. It's very different.
That is so different.
Most coaches
say,
no, you can't take that class. No, nope, you can't major in nursing.
Right.
Our women are here to get an education from one of the finest institutions in the country. So I pride myself that way.
Amen.
So if we're going to, it's either we go 6 a.m. or 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
6 p.m. to 8 p.m. is a terrible time for Lisa Stone. I'm a high-energy person. You don't want me at 6 to 8 a.m., p.m., p.m.
Well,
I need to go to bed.
You're putting your PJs on, and you're about ready to go
absolutely.
To bed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's time for family. It's time for dinner. It's time for life away from the job. 6 a.m., it's not ideal. I get up and run at 4 a.m. in my little Fox Mill Estates area in Illinois where I live, and there's nobody awake at that time.
I have
so
to
I have
introduce
the roads
you
to myself.
I've got to introduce you to Camille Emig Hill because they're neighbors of yours. She might just kind of walk along and at least kind of keep up with you sometimes. But
absolutely.
That would be neat for
love
Camille to meet,
you. But I do that so I'm because it's my job is I need to be on every day.
Yeah.
And I am a high energy person. And if I don't get my workout in before practice, I'm flat. And so they know that I come in hair on fire and here we go and we're gonna practice. And now, today, for instance, when they're finished with the classes, they're done for the day. They could take a nap, get a light dinner or something, and study. And then tomorrow, we don't go until 12:30 in the afternoon. So it's every other day. So the mornings, I don't like to do two back-to-back mornings because they'll be too tired.
Right.
And I also want to make things realistic. So the year we won the league with Sage Stepanovic and Jackie Kemp and Jenny Valit and Aaron Nelson, some local products, when we won it that year, we practiced at 6 a.m. They requested it. They go, Coach, can we go in the mornings? We like it. But we get up. It's not ideal, but they go to bed at night. So that back to your husband's point, the discipline piece, you need to go to bed at night. You can't stay up to midnight. You need to go to bed. And then on the weekends, a lot of times they're in the right to have the weekend off. And I trust our kids. They make good decisions. They're good kids. They're good students. And it works for us. So we work like today. By 2 o'clock, my staff's put in 8 hours. Go home. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Go home. Go
That's
to the grocery
great.
Store. Dust your house. Do some laundry. Watch a Netflix show. Enjoy some time. Get up and we'll be ready to go tomorrow.
And the nice thing is then you can spend time. You can get all those things done that you have to accomplish as, you know, head of household. Because, yes, some people think the man is the head of the household. Well, really, the one that's really running the household is the wife. You know, let's just face it.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I look sometimes, and with having Saddleback Chocolates and the fact that we are now going into other avenues of Saddleback Chocolates, my time is just not my own at all. And between that and horse racing and, you know, and kind of knowing where we're going to be with races and such, you know, I'm always trying to just find time to go, maybe I ought to dust that, you know, before somebody writes their name in the dining room table.
Yes.
You know, and it's so nice that they have that afternoon.
Yep. And then we can go recruiting also. Yeah. So there may be a time where I need to fly to Chicago and see a kid play and then fly back. So that's the nice thing about St. Louis as well, which is why I love our airport is close by.
Right.
I can jump on a flight at 1 o'clock. I can fly up and I can watch a 7 o'clock game and there's a late flight home. That I don't even have to stay overnight in the hotel.
That's great.
Ideal.
That's great. So when do you recruit? Do you recruit year-round or?
It's year-round. So our schedule is crazy. Women's basketball, men's basketball, we have recruiting calendars. And July and September are the busiest months. So a lot of people don't think we work outside of the court.
Uh-huh.
We work every single day of the year.
Right.
So when's your downtime? Your downtime would be when it's called the dead period, where you cannot have any contact with with recruits. That's when I tell my staff, go out and go on a vacation, do whatever. But it's very rare. We work year round. We practice in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing is we are with our players year round.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a winter sport. It's not like high school. It's not like old school. So
right.
I love it when people say, what do you do when you're not coaching? Do you teach too? No, I have no time to teach.
Right.
We had a recruit on campus yesterday. We have five of them on Sunday. We have a game on this Friday when we're going to Eastern Kentucky. We'll have a recruit, five recruits on Sunday at practice. So it's ongoing because you need players.
Mm-hmm.
But our busiest month is in terms of recruiting is July and September, where it's rare that I'm even home any night at all in my own bed in those 2 months.
Oh my gosh!
And people say, well, basketball season is November. It is, but these are for the next recruiting classes. So we call you a 19, 20, 21, or 22. A 22 is a freshman in high school, 22. So my staff will say, is she a 22? And then, so it takes a while to figure this out.
Right.
Freshman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A 23 is an eighth grader.
Mm-hmm. Are you really looking at them in eighth grade?
You're darn right we are.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, we are. We are. There are some that you need to get on that early and get them to camp, get them to your campus, get them to visit. And start the process. We've gone as low as seventh grade. We brought the seventh graders in. We have camps in the summer that will draw. You get them on campus so they can get a little campus tour and see it like, oh, wow. And then meet our coaches, meet our team, see the whole environment. And then you just have to keep building and following up, et cetera.
Do you have a budget for all this? Or do you have to be doing fundraising on top of that?
Well, there's always fundraising. Mm-hmm. But there is also, we have a recruiting budget that we try to stay tuned to. We have a month that we know is going to be expensive because we're traveling a lot. That's July and September.
Okay.
During our season, our actually competitive season, which when many people think is our only season, that's a time where I'll never leave my team. I'm not going to leave my team to go watch a high school game. My team is the Billikens.
Right.
So I'm not going to miss practice or game to go recruiting. And I made it up. I might have a staff member miss practice, but they'll never miss a game.
Okay.
There are some programs that they'll have coaches recruiting during a game. And I'm like, no, I need them at the game. They're part of the staff.
How many coaches do you have?
I have four full-time assistants.
Okay.
A director of operations. Actually, there's four of us that can recruit. So you have a head coach, three assistants the four of us can go off-campus recruiting.
Okay.
I then have a director of basketball operations and a graduate assistant. So there's six of us total on staff, and all women except for Ty, who also lives. His address is Troy. He's over there with us, over there on the Illinois side.
Okay.
And Ty Morgan Taylor was with me at Wisconsin.
Oh my gosh, Jackson.
Jackson Ty.
Oh my gosh.
SIU.
Love
yes.
Jack. Love
Ty listens
love
to this,
Jack.
So do I. Jack
wait till
and Mary
I tell
Beth
Mike Moore.
Are wonderful.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Wait till I tell Mike
Ty
Moore.
Ty lives not too far off the Troy exit. They just moved from, he was with me at Wisconsin.
Okay.
He's a head coach at SEMO, and I got him back. He's my buddy. Ty's a male version of me.
How old is he now?
Ty is 10 years younger than I am. He's 46.
Really?
Yep. He's got a son that is playing college basketball. He's a freshman, and his youngest son is a freshman in high school at Troy.
It truly, it doesn't seem like that he's that old. His father coached, was one of my coaches for Prairie State games.
How about that?
Jack was, yeah. And Ty was
a little guy.
He's little. Yeah, yeah. He was a little guy.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, he was probably like high school or something, but still, Ty doesn't seem like he could be old enough to be married and have kids.
He's my right-hand man.
Wow.
And he and I climb over that Poplar Street Bridge every 5:15 in the morning on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, and he's the backbone. He helps me with everything. So good guy to have on staff.
Yeah. So, okay, so that's your staff, and, you know, with recruiting – you know, and I mean, we go to men's games. I've been to a few women's games. I have to say I've been lucky enough to be, you know, at a few women's games. And with Travis being, you know, from Kentucky and the whole, you know, Travis actually worked at Lane's End. I think he worked at Lane's End Stallion Farm, which we did a lot of breeding at Lane's End.
Oh, wow.
So my husband and Travis have talked on different times. And one of the assistant coaches actually coached with my husband as well. So, I mean, they've known each other through different areas, but we've been fortunate to make it over for a lot of games, you know, and I always go and kind of just am so proud and so thrilled to be there. But it's funny because with the games, a lot of people don't think about the fact that, you know, it's not like you go to a men's game because then the women played beforehand. The women have their own schedule. Mm-hmm. They are totally standalone, capable, and can get to the Final Four sometimes better and more efficiently than the men's team. I mean, let's just face it, you know, and it's based on your recruiting, it's based on your team, it's based on every, you know, the schedule and everything. But is like a trip whenever they're going like to an away game, is that something only like for season ticket holders?
Oh, no.
Or can people?
Anybody can come at any time. All they have to do is let us know. We have a pretty good following on road trips, and, you know, we play some local, we play drivable distance in terms of non-conference. This year, actually, we're going to Boca Raton, Florida.
Oh, I like Boca.
Yep, we're going to Boca.
When are we going there?
28th and 29th. Come join us of December.
Of December, okay.
That's
okay.
Right before New Year's, yeah. But we're playing down there. We're going to University of Virginia. We're playing at Virginia Thanksgiving time.
Mm-hmm.
So people are more than welcome to jump on the bandwagon. We love you. The whole thing is, come to one game, you'll come back again.
Right.
Our players share the ball. They're fun to watch. There are a number of doubleheaders this year. I think there's three of them this year with our men. That you can come and catch both games.
Right.
So it's super neat. And I love working side by side with Travis. He's a great guy. He's very friendly. We work together, not against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that in all due respect. I've always been that way with men's coaches and who I've worked with. I might go 5 minutes over. He might go 5 minutes over. There's an understanding. We both practiced at the same time the other day.
Mm-hmm.
We shared the pavilion because there was a concert. No problem. It's just how you handle things. But
right.
I like to work with people, not against.
He's a gentleman. He really is. He's
yep.
a true gentleman.
Yep.
What about, do you play SIU Edwardsville at all?
We play SIU Edwardsville. It's at Chaffetz this year.
Okay.
I don't have my schedule in front of me. I'm sorry. But we do play them. We're local teams. We've got Carbondale on the schedule.
Got Mizzou, too, don't you?
Yeah, we have Mizzou. We have UConn. We have a great schedule. We play Mizzou every year. We always have. Since I've been here, we've played them every year. The last time Mizzou came here, we won. That was the first time in school history we'd ever beaten them. Robin Pinchton, their head coach, is a very dear friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Sophie Cunningham is one of the best players in the country. She's one of their players. They come to us the same week. We have UConn and Mizzou in the same week.
Oh, my gosh.
So everybody's talking right now about the Connecticut game and coming out. And you know what? I love that people are talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's women's
As they should.
Basketball. We're going to sell out. My hope is 2 games in a row.
Oh my gosh.
And it's super exciting. We're gonna play as hard as we can with our young team that I love dearly. Our goal is to get better every single day, bring a semblance of unity and a semblance of hard work, fundamentally sound, a good program, because we've built a program from nothing to where it is now, and our job now is to maintain it. We graduated 6 seniors last year, one of whom was the two-time A-10 player of the year.
Hear that. Graduated. Yeah. Graduated with college degrees from St. Louis University.
And our college degrees go like this. We have one in law school at Loyola Marymount. Jackie Kemp is an auditor she's in tax, actually, PwC. We have another at Deloitte. We have another that is in grad school up for the NCAA postgraduate scholarship, Aaliyah Covington, who's from Edwardsville.
Yes.
She is in social work. We'll have a master's in social work. We have another in PA school. Our players are not graduating with underwater basket weaving.
Don't you love
that?
They're
getting tremendous degrees. I'm very, very proud of all of them. Sage Stepanovic is with Edward Jones. Aaron Nelson is with Edward Jones. We have very successful young women that know that this education is something that's very important, and they're utilizing all of it.
Well, and the thing is, it's a gift from St. Louis University. They've had the advantage and the opportunity to have an education and earn an education from one of the finest Jesuit schools in the nation, mm-hmm. you know, one of the finest universities in the nation. And then to have the privilege and the honor and the fun to get to play basketball, too, and to play Division One. I mean, nothing's better. That's utopia, you know, and that's what I always say. When you're at a wonderful university, you're in utopia. Enjoy it, you know, embellish or embrace it because, you know, real world's a little different. You know, real life's a little different, but St. Louis U does prepare, and you are certainly preparing your, you know, your players and mentoring them. So we have to say, I want to say to you, may I have you come back? Will you please come back?
I'll come back any day you want me to come back.
Oh, my gosh, because there's so much we have not talked about, so many different things. I want you back so badly.
We come back whenever you want me back.
Okay.
Come back.
Great. Okay. And maybe we'll even bring a, you know, one of your coaches too, or one of your players.
We can bring Ty.
Okay. That would be fun. Oh, that would be so much fun.
We'll bring Ty.
Okay. Thank you all so much for listening today. You know, right now I have Lisa Stone who is here, little Lisa Anderson Stone, you know, that started as a 10-year-old in Rick Majerus's camp. And I've got to tell you, thank you so much as the varsity head women's coach. Well, is there even a JV anymore?
No. It's just women's basketball.
So she's the head coach at St. Louis University, you know, really accomplishing so much with a stellar career. Great woman, great wife, great mother. And best of all, she is a strong woman. May we praise her here on Cocktails and Conversation 590 The Fan. This is Maureen Moore saying thank you very much for listening today.